Well, the world's two biggest economies are growing strongly. So why does it feel so bad for the rest of us? US growth this year likely to outstrip that of its G7 partners twice. And China is growing faster than expected at 5.3%. For South Africa, however, the outlook is grim. The IMF saying our medium-term prospects are the weakest they have been in decades. Izaan Mhlanga is the chief economist at RMB and joins us this evening from Joburg. Why does the world feel as weak as it does in the face of such strong growth in the world's two biggest economies, Izaan?
Thanks, Bruce. I think it's not necessarily the world. I'm sure if you were to ask U.S. workers, if you're looking at non-farm payrolls that were released a couple of weeks ago, surpassing expectations by nearly 50%. That should tell you that U.S. people are feeling different to how we are feeling. But also, if you were to ask people that are in the euro area, for instance, they would perhaps be in a similar situation to where we are, given that European economic growth is lower, and also the costs continue to rise. And then if you ask people that are in the Middle East, they will say completely different. They are in a far more worse environment than where we are, given the conflict that is currently happening between Hamas, Israel, and now including other countries such as Iran and Jordan and others. So the situation is different. It depends on where we are. And if you have to look at SA, our growth within the emerging market world, at least the ones that are shown in the IMF World Economic Outlook, is the slowest, expectation for this year. The second slowest is at 2%. We are at 0.9. Even when you look for next year, again, we are the slowest, just at about 1.2%. So we are one of only four major emerging market economies whose growth has been downgraded this year. And again, next year, we are one of only four, again, whose growth has been downgraded slightly. And that speaks to our own domestic challenges that we are very well aware of. Load shedding, it's logistics, it's crime and corruption that inhibits things such as, tourism. For instance, all of those things are weighing on our economic growth, which means the solution has to be domestic.
No, exactly right. And I was just reflecting yesterday, I spoke to the author of a book called Exponential Emirates, and reflecting on the 50 years of astonishing growth that the Emirates have seen, and the fact they've got another 50-year plan to take them through to 2067 or whatever it was, the year that they're looking forward to. And I'd recently been traveling around Spain and looking at the huge economic development in Spain, and Spain and South Africa's past not that different from a fascist control point of view and isolation point of view. And just countries make different choices at different really pivotal times in their economic cycles or in the economic lifetimes, I suppose. That those that make good strategic long-term decisions and put smart people in charge of big projects and plan those projects to coincide with other big projects, and somehow those societies tend to get really good economic outcomes. There are a couple of us who simply don't, and we don't because we don't plan, and if we do plan, we don't implement. And that's the long-running crisis of confidence that we're going through at the moment.
Absolutely. And I would say we our body politic behaves like an overweight person that never goes to gym, never eats well until they are told by the doctor that they will suffer a heart attack. And then we start, responding vigorously in all ways. You can go back as far as 1994, just on the brink of the Civil War, and then you go into just before 2000, we were told we have load shedding. 2007, we never did anything until load shedding hits. And now you can see the same thing with infrastructure in general, because it is in a state of decay and inhibiting growth and having political consequences. We are now responding with all these structural reforms. I would guess the positive out of these things, we have never gotten into an actual heart attack. We have responded quickly enough once we were told things are so critical. We hope potentially going forward, we don't have to wait until the doctor says something is critically wrong. But what we are seeing currently is quite encouraging. We might feel as if things are so negative. We can debate in terms of the speed of implementation, But I think in terms of the direction, it's clearly in the positive direction. We just need to see that speed improving.
Of that, there is no doubt. However, we look at the medium-term outlook. The IMF says it's never been as dark as it is. And I think it is ignoring the progress that has been made at Vulindlela. We were talking to the CEO of a company called Traction, which operates 85 trains in 7 countries north of our borders, and saying that we're on the cusp of getting to a point where he will be able to order the locomotives in order to compete using Transnet tracks and things. And it was massively exciting. And then he went, well, it is a 2 or 3 year process, because you can't just buy trains off the shelf, and you can't just get them in the country, and you can't just do this. So again, all of these things, unfortunately, if you operate the way we do in a knee-jerk and reactive fashion rather than a planned strategic fashion, means that you really do boom and bust in an economy like ours, because these reforms, you know, as good as they are and as welcome as they are reluctant and long-delayed reforms.
Indeed. Look, if you have to look at the growth forecast currently, almost everybody is not taking into account the future outlook of reforms. We take policy as is today and say what would be the implication for economic growth. We have been disappointed historically to price in expected reforms which never come. So implementation has been a big challenge. So learning from that, we simply just say, given what we know today and what is currently, you know, implemented, what does it mean for economic growth? Better to be surprised on the upside relative to be surprised on the downside in future.
So the Reserve Bank says we'll grow at 1.2% this year. The IMF says we'll grow at 0.9%. Who's right? Well, who's less wrong, put it that way?
Bruce, the economy is a complex system with so many economic growth players, such that to measure accurately at a, you know, a 10 basis point accuracy is almost nonsensical. So there isn't any difference between a 1.1 and a 0.9. It could be measurement errors, and you would know very well that, you know, economic statistics, particularly GDP, gets revised so often as new data comes into play, as measurement methodologies improve. So, you know, we shouldn't read too much into the point decimal digit differences that the IMF has relative to the Reserve Bank.
What's your outlook? I mean, are you willing to go to say that, you know, 2025, all things being equal, based on what we know of the reforms that are being implemented and are in place, and as we start getting interest rate cuts, perhaps this year, perhaps next year, that we start seeing the 2 and 3% growth rates? Or are we so structurally deficient that we don't get to that in the short term?
Look, in the short term, it's going to be difficult to get to, you know, those numbers, you know, in the order of 3%. We have 1.3% for 2024, 1.6% for 2025. We are penciling in an improvement from an energy perspective that we think is likely going to surprise on the upside. Even when you look at last year's growth of 0.6%, at some point we're expecting a full year contraction because of the intensity of load shedding. But because of the addition that we saw from the private sector, we were surprised on the upside. So we are trying to anticipate that and pencil it into our expectation. But over the medium to longer term, we can then speak about, you know, north of 2 to 2.5% economic growth once we see the reforms that we are talking about in logistics, in energy continue to be implemented, which we think is likely, you know, to be implemented or not.
Azam Tlanga, thank you. He is the chief economist at RMB tonight. Just the IMF warning that while the rest of the world is growing, there are a couple of countries that aren't, and we're one of them. And our outlook is the worst that it's been in decades.